For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Of 2023, you're with James Broadhurst and
Sean Boss. G'day, James.
And we're going to be chatting all things Waffle for round three action. This week in the Monday Waffle podcast, we're going to be covering all the bits and pieces from the action around Perth during all of the Anzac Day round. And we're also going to be chatting a little bit about footy snacks. What's your go-to? Going to be catching up with Ross McQueen from the Royals to chat about their unbeaten run to the season. And also going to be chatting all things round four on the horizon. So we've got a jam-packed show. Let's dive in. Sean, did you manage to get to any of the games over the weekend?
Yeah, I managed to get down to Lidl Oval on Saturday to see Subiaco take on Clermont. And what an exciting game that was. And some surprises, which we'll be talking about throughout this podcast.
And you, one of your teams that you picked to be the premiers was in that contest. How'd that go?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if I really want to talk about that in any great detail, but I am. I did back Clermont for the premiership this year, so they didn't really have the success story that I was hoping for, but you know, let's see if they can bounce back in round four.
And clubs around the league were observing and paying respect to Anzac traditions at venues around Perth over the weekend. One punter on Twitter and actually says that the service at Fremantle Oval was impeccably observed and better than the non-stop noise at Optus Stadium on Friday. So great feedback from the punters during a huge weekend for local footy as well. So going around the ground, so Sean has just touched on Subi defeating Clermont 94 points to 70. South Frio came out on top against Peel Thunder, finishing 92 points to 48. Perth suffered another big defeat for the season 2023, defeated by East Perth, 47 points to 115. And how'd the Swan Districts go against West Perth?
Yeah, well, Swan Districts, they went down, unfortunately for them, 74 points, and West Perth, the Falcons, 81, they were the victors.
And West Coast, another big defeat for them again in round three.
Yeah, look at that. East Fremantle, 25-11, 161, defeated West Coast, 8-5-53. They really did turn it into a clinic, not just in one quarter, but throughout the whole game.
Yeah, it's worrying signs for the West Coast Waffle team as they're mirroring the form from their big league counterparts for sure. So the first game that we're going to be unpacking is the South Frio game versus Peel Thunder, which was actually at South or Fremantle Community Oval. So South Frio, they really set up the game with a 5-1 first term against Peel, and Peel just never really looked in the contest. Sean, how did South Frio come away with such a big win?
Well, I think there are a number of factors there, James, but, you know, big part of it, I think, was the number of disposals. They had 59 disposals throughout the game. They had quick hands. They handled the ball well. They made those contacts count.
They sure did. And South Fremantle got a fantastic supply through their midfield. They hit inside 60 times throughout the game, which is 20 more than Peel Thunder. And they ended up with 9 more scoring shots than Peel Thunder. So, you know, you get more of the ball. You get the ball inside 50 more. And you also have more shots on goal. That's a guaranteed success and a guaranteed formula to win most of your games. And, you know, South Frio, they had a number of contributors. It wasn't just all on the shoulders of one or two. What can you tell me about how many players they had getting the ball?
Oh, look, James, I mean, in terms of their key players, they had 6 players with over 25 touches, whereas Peel only had 4. South Frio had 4 players with over 5-plus 150 touches, whereas Peel had 3.
And Peel, they really struggled to find avenues towards goal. They Peel didn't have any multiple goal kickers, but South Frio had five contributors or five players with more than one goal. So it wasn't just, you know, the ball finding its way into the hands of one or two players. They really had contributors across both the forward and midfield who were able to contribute substantially. And, you know, Bulldogs skipper Dylan Main says the penalty in the preseason isn't factoring into the Bulldogs' performance. You know, they started the season on negative 8 points, and they actually managed to get back to zero in terms of the points for season 2023 with the win over the weekend. And I hear that the South Frio actually welcomed back a pretty loved player from the club.
Yes, indeed they did, James. The side welcomed back ruckman Brock Higgins out of retirement, so he's back in the mix, and let's see if he can make his renaissance an even bigger impact.
And a former Crow also had a big impact on the, you know, for South Frio.
Look out, Jordan Gallucci. He starred up forward with no less than three goals, James. Giddy up.
Yeah, great to see a few loved and emerging players in that performance. And Sean, talk me through what happened between the Perth Derby, whatever you're calling it. We had both new coaches going head-to-head for the first time.
It's Derby, right? Perth 6-11-47 were defeated by East Perth 17-13-115. I mean, we're getting into the realms of cricket scores here, James. What is going on? But the game was over by quarter time with the Royals kicking six goals to zip. The Royals did pile on eight second-half goals to the Demons of only three.
And also the Perth goal kicking, pretty worryingly inaccurate. You know, 6 goals, 11 for the game. And given that inaccuracy, they were really inefficient with disposals. They were only 15 touches behind what the Royals got all game, but they were down 18 inside 50s in comparison to East Perth. So, you know, they got a lot of the footy, but they just weren't able to move it into a position where they could actually be attacking. You know, the Royals had a number of contributors. One of them was Angus Scott. Talk to me about the game that he had on the weekend.
So Angus Scott, he really did step it up, James. 36 touches, 11 marks. He was excited and achieved seven inside 50s.
Yeah, and also they also had Croden, 28 touches, 10 inside 50s and 2 goals as well. So great to see a couple of the midfielders and key contributors. And also a very famous name in the football world, Brayshaw. 26 touches, 8 clearances, 6 inside 50s and 2 goals. So, you know, the Royals midfield and the small forwards really working collaboratively and sharing the load equally. So, and East Perth, they'd be very happy with that. They're going to be remaining as the only undefeated team of the season. And we were lucky enough to actually grab the head coach, Ross McQueen. Ross, thanks so much for joining us. Tell me, what does it feel like to start the Waffle season for 2023? 3 wins, 0 losses.
Well, it's nice. It definitely beats being 0-3, that's for sure. It's, like I said, it puts us in a nice headspace moving into planning for the following week each week. So if we hadn't won game one by a point, who knows? But yeah, 3-0 is a nice position to be in.
And Ross, we spoke a little bit before about the recovery process in terms of what you're doing with the players, but and you know, the training obviously prepares them physically for their game, but what are you doing specifically to manage that headspace that you just mentioned before and keep people in peak condition when it comes to their mental attitude?
Oh, I don't think it's... Well, I certainly don't have all the answers. It's probably just making sure the players feel supported, both getting some feedback about their football, making sure there's plenty of positive reinforcement along with the education of improvement, trying to make sure they feel listened to, but understand we've got a bit of we've got a direction we're heading in. And like I said, just physically, hopefully having them in the right space. If they're physically feeling good and their headspace is good, then hopefully the football's okay. So, like I said, I don't have a perfect answer for them emotionally and mentally feeling prepared, but the players are doing a pretty good job at the moment.
And going to the weekend's performance, you know, coming out pretty close to 10 goals up, you had a lot of contributors over the weekend with Angus Scott, 36 touches, Croden, 28, inside 50, 10 plus times, a couple of goals. And then you had, you know, the Brayshaw name doing what it does best at getting lots of touches around the ball. You know, who are some of your on-field leaders at the moment and what sort of impact are they having on your performance?
Well, obviously, it's been a positive start. So we've contributions have been pretty good by all of them. We've got Stan Wright, one of our leadership group, and Kyle Wilcox. They're both in the back half of the ground, and they're really building into the year really, really nicely. They had strong games on the weekend. Scott Jones in the ruck, of course, is in our leadership group, one of our vice captains. So he's working with the Brayshaws and the Amaduries and the Schumachers and the Crodens and things through the midfield. So their understanding of the game. And I think even though we don't have a lot of players with huge amount of experience in terms of waffle level, like we only have one player on our list with over 100 waffle games, and that's Shane Hilly, who's currently out injured. We have a number of guys that played a bit of AFL football, and they bring that with them. They're good communicators to the players, their peers around them, but also working with myself and the other coaching group. So we've tried to build a bit of a shared responsibility in terms of that leadership space, and those blokes are doing a good job.
Well, it's great to hear that everyone's working together towards that common goal. Ross, I wanted to ask you about, it's only a few days away, right? Next weekend, you've got Peel Thunder coming up at Leaderville Oval. How are you feeling about that contest?
Yeah, we'll start looking at Peel tonight, after tonight, so we'll do our review from our game on the weekend from Perth, and we'll start having a good look at Peel. They're a good side. You know, they've beaten us, I think, both times last year. I think we might have got them once the year before. For the last few years, well organised, you know, well coached. Jeff Valentine's extremely good coach, and a very good support group down there. And depending from week to week how many of the players they get from their alignment, the advantage I think Peel have over perhaps West Coast is their local boys are a very strong contingent of players too. So they're trying to develop that pathway for the region. And so we'll have to do our work, and obviously on Saturday bring our best game.
I think it's going to be an interesting contest because Peel have got, you know, the measure of the Royals the last couple of encounters by more than 50 points, and you yourselves in season 2023 have kicked 100 plus in your last two matches. So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting contest to see offensive and defensively what matchups end up where. You know, what are some of the key matchups you think are going to really decide the game for you guys?
I don't know exactly. Like I said, I've had a little bit of a look at Peel. I guess Peel and ourselves will probably back our midfield to be quite strong. So obviously our midfield. Defensively, the Peel Football Club have been very strong with Nathan Wilson and the types of rebounding off halfback and Joel Hamling, you know, premiership players in key position players. So their defence will be quite strong. So there'd be a challenge for our young forward group. Just got a relatively young group in the front half. So that'll be an area we'll really have to be on top of our game. But the midfield is being good for us, but it's also good for Peel.
Ross, thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Waffle, and you know, best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thanks, James.
All right. Next up, James, we had Swan Districts. They went down to West Perth, 74-81, fairly closely fought contest, but a fantastic contest all the way through. Swan's Christopher Jones kicked a goal in the opening minute, so certainly a very quick start to the game.
Yeah, and the Swans were a little unlucky. You know, they led in all four quarters. However, West Perth charged back in the fourth quarter from three goals down to reach a seven-point win at Steel Blue Oval. And, you know, talking about, you know, how the game went down to the wire as well, there was a lot of good takeaways from this. You know, commentators get a pretty bad rap when things don't work out the way that they should. But one commentator got it spot on. When the Falcons went coast to coast, they managed to get the ball from essentially a kick-in all the way to scoring one of five goals for Tyler Keitel in three kicks. So let's have a listen to how that all unfolded.
And the long kick straight down the middle. Here it goes.
Johnson and Michael Broadbridge caught it superbly. That's why he's in the seat he is. And Nelson through the centre circles. The transition was elite. And that from end to end into the hands of Tyler Keitel is a set play which you read, Michael, and they carried out to a T.
So fantastic to see the commentators on point. He managed to call it. He saw what was happening on the field. You know, the Falcons were able to get the ball from one end of the ground to the other in the hands of Tyler Keitel for a goal. Doesn't work out much better than that for a commentator.
What a fantastic achievement. Also for West Perth, we had Shane Nelson really stepping up his performance with 40 touches and 14 clearances. And Jesse Turner, what a revelation. He kicked a late goal to keep the Swans in touch, and he did really work hard all game, James.
Yeah, and the game did go down to the last couple of minutes. Plenty of lead changes in that fourth term. The Swans did have their opportunities, and we've got the last couple of seconds here. The ball was deep inside the forward 50 for the Swans, and this is how it played out.
Dodges around him nicely, gets them deep inside 50. Jones the target, we've seen him take great marks all day. A couple of bites, couldn't take it though. Pressure applied, siren sounds. Players haven't heard it initially, but the Falcons have done enough. Yet another thriller between these two clubs.
Yeah, it was great to see another close game in the Waffle. There have been a lot of blowouts this season, so it was fantastic to see a close game decided by, you know, essentially what was less than a couple of goals. You know, the Swans did leave it too little, too late. I reckon another 5 minutes in that game, we could be talking about an entirely different ladder, which we'll go through in a little bit as well. So also we had West Coast, you know, or at least we can call them West because they've only got about half a side left at this stage. They were defeated by the in-form East Fremantle. 25 goals, 11, 161, beating West Coast. 8 goals, 5, 53. East Frio coming off a tight win against the Swans in round 2. West Coast coming off the back of one of the biggest losses in Waffle history against West Perth the previous week. And the Sharks were absolutely prolific, kicking 7 goals or more in 3 out of the 4 quarters.
Yet they were really scoring at will, James. West Coast severely were undermanned, and they had players come out of retirement, like Will Schofield, for example, to help out and to try and make a difference. On Twitter from Ken Buzzins, Will Schofield looks like a guy they dragged out from the pub to play footy today, all right? Which I don't
know. Well, if I look like Will Schofield when I get pulled out of a pub to play footy, I'm going to be feeling pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm just not sure whether that was a compliment, James, or whether that was something else, but certainly very funny. We also had Milan Murdoch. He had an absolute ripper of a game with over 30 touches, 2 goals, and 9 tackles.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see when a player puts in a defensive effort like that as well. You know, getting the ball is one thing, but being willing to work off the ball and providing that defensive pressure to kind of keep the ball in your forward half when it's in there, it's really great to see. And I think that's what coaches appreciate. It's easy to get the ball. You know, some of the players, you look at the numbers, they might have 36, 40 touches, but are the touches that they're getting actually making an impact? And when the coaches are looking at the defensive effort, the high tackle numbers always mean that you're in and around the contest, which is great to see.
And James, you have to ask yourself, you know, what lessons are West Coast learning in, you know, in these first few rounds, and can they turn things around? Can they drag themselves back up and salvage some pride from where they are right now?
Yeah, well, you've got to hope so. So it is worrying signs for West Coast. The injury crisis shows no signs of ending. Really going to need to get creative to put a competitive side on the park. The first 3 games of the season, they've actually been losing by an average of 86 points, which is more than 14 goals, which is more than what most Waffle teams are actually putting on the scoreboard. So to be losing by that much, it's a little bit worrying, but you know, they've just got to try to shift their focus, whether it's introducing new players, getting experience into some of the younger guys. They're just going to need to figure out and keep on trying a few different things to try and get something out of this season.
Yeah, totally agree. And to some extent, it's already about building for next season.
And we spoke earlier about the game of the week that we chose last week from the Monday Waffle podcast crew. And we decided that Subi versus Claremont was going to be the game of the week. And you were at the game. Kick us off.
I was on the ground there, James, and it was a much bigger gap throughout the afternoon. But Claremont did pull their way back up. But Subiaco still prevailed with a victory, 14-10-94. They did defeat Claremont 10-10-70. Nice round numbers there. Subiaco were consistent across all 4 quarters. And James, what made this victory all the more impressive was that it was done in the absence of some of the key players for Subiaco. Some of their leaders weren't on the ground, but Subi still had a great performance. Subi were able to take more territory when it mattered with over 37 more kicks than Claremont. And Claremont overpossessed the footy with more than 35 handballs than Subiaco. So perhaps that tells a story in terms of how effective Claremont were with the ball, James.
Yeah, definitely. And Subi also was able to create plenty of opportunities. They ended up with plus 10 inside, or 10 inside 50s more than Claremont. When you get that sort of supply coming in, a lot of it was repeat entries. They were just able to maintain and sustain that pressure, leading to a couple of goals as well. You know, you had players like Hickmott, Broughton and Hansen. They had 16 inside 50s between them. So when you've got the ball going into their hands, and they're usually quite good users of the ball, you know that you're going to be generating opportunities for those forwards to kick goals and create scoring opportunities as well. Speaking of scoring shots, Subi only had 4 more scoring shots than Claremont, but ended up winning by 4 goals. So that, those 4 scoring shots were, in the end, the difference between winning and losing for Subi. And Subiaco had Borchet and Sokol with nearly 10 goals between the two of them. So when you got two forwards or two players that kick close to 10 goals between them, you need to find a way of sort of stemming that influence through the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Subi managed the win, missing 3 of their stars, as I said before, Lee Kitchen, Stefan Giro and Jordan Snadden. And once the final siren went, James, the difference between the two teams was 4 goals. There was a level of excitement and exuberance in the crowd, and the players were totally stoked to have knocked up a victory over Claremont. After the games, I was lucky enough to get into the rooms and to, you know, feel some of that enthusiasm and also see the team's excitement. I did manage to have a very quick chat with Ryan Borchert, who bagged 5 goals in his very first game for this season. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it was good to get back. Obviously, didn't play the first 2 rounds in the ones. For me, it was just about getting back out there and trying to get a kick, but. Yeah, I was lucky enough to kick a few goals today, so it was good.
And very accurate on the goals, obviously 5 in the bag. What are you doing? Anything special to get your goal-kicking accuracy?
Not really. I actually don't have a routine. I think it actually puts me off a little bit. So I just try to drop the ball straight and kick it straight. So.
Great performance out there. You almost took the mark of the year, but it just slipped away. Any comments on that one?
Yeah, I think I got up there a little too high, and then I realised, I still haven't hit the ground yet. And it was scary, but it's one of those things. Sometimes they stick, sometimes they don't. So,
thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle.
That was Sean Boss having a quick chat with Ryan Borchett after he bagged 5 goals in Subi's win over Claremont. And interesting to hear, he doesn't actually have like a goal-kicking routine. You know, most goal-kicking and forwards coaches would probably be a little bit nervous about us putting that to air.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we were looking at an article last night, in fact, James, just about that, how some people get very rigid in terms of their routine, and they're almost superstitious about kicking goals and what they do before they line up and check their shoelaces and all the rest of it.
I mean, we've seen some very famous AFL and Waffle players in the past. I mean, Quinton Lynch from West Coast, fantastic. Fantastic example. The glove comes off quite literally and he throws it away into the crowd. Who was it that used to throw the grass? Matty Lloyd used to try to like get the windsock going by throwing a little bit of the turf.
It's very much a ritual, and you know, and if they don't follow their ritual, then they think, oh, that's bad luck.
Yeah, well, I also think that Matty Lloyd would have a tough time pulling some of the turf out of some of the grounds around the country
yes.
at the moment. He might just get a handful of dirt and be throwing that around the grounds. So.
Indeed.
Well, obviously with everything that's happened in this round, we're going to dive into chatting around, you know, who's where on the Waffle ladder. So, a bit of a surprise to start the season. East Perth, 3 wins, no losses, huge percentage as well. They've scored 307 points for themselves, and they've only had 215 scored against them. So, getting it done at both ends of the park. And West Perth sitting in at number 2.
Okay, so in second position on the ladder, we have West Perth. They've had 2 wins and 1 loss. Their percentage is also pretty strong on 191% with 340 points for and 178 against.
Yeah, and East Perth coming off a big win against West Coast puts them 2 wins and 1 loss for the season. Nice little percentage boost against West Coast as well.
And Claremont, yes, after their loss to Subiaco, they're now on 2-1, still in a strong position in terms of points. They're on 8 points, percentage is 123.
Yeah, and Peel Thunder, they'll be looking to bounce back again this week, but they're still in the top 5, only just, to Subiaco by, it looks like, 2 percentage points. So they'll be wanting to maintain their form and continuing to remain, you know, in that top 5.
Many teams are on 8 points, and Subiaco is one of them in sixth position on the ladder. You know, let's see if they can continue this winning form.
Yep, and South Fremantle also on 8 points is what I would be saying if they weren't starting the season on -8. So they've done well to get two wins on the board, which brings them back to level playing field. So in a lot of ways, South Fremantle, their season actually starts this week.
That's right, you know, and with a strong performance between now and the end of the season, it doesn't matter if you're on 0 wins right now, but clearly now's the time to start.
Unless you're West Coast.
Now's the time to get some results on the board. So Swans, no wins yet, but hey, you know, there's hope for next week.
Yeah, and Perth, you know, worrying signs already. They've been smashed pretty much every week that they've played. They have only scored 114 points for season 2023, which is actually the lowest number of points scored by any team in the Waffle Comp. And their percentage is sitting at a lowly 41.76%, and no wins for the season for 2023.
Yeah, and certainly West Coast, you know, they're looking for their first win for the season, and I'm sure, you know, we don't want to give advice to the coaches, but it's all about identifying perhaps opportunities to have a win in some aspect of the game and then be looking for that to chalk up that very first win for the season.
Yeah, getting to Waffle Games is always a good event for yourself, for the friends, for the family. Sean, I have to ask, what is your go-to footy snack when you're either watching at home or at the ground proper?
Oh, to be honest, I really like a meat pie from way back, you know. So normally it would be just a plain old meat pie and generally I'll have some tomato sauce on top.
Yeah, for me it's always original and crinkle cut Smith's crisps.
Oh, there you go.
Has to be something crunchy, salty, original. Maybe it's a little bit beige, but we wanted to find out more. So we sent our ground correspondents around to actually check out what people's go-to footy snack is in round 20 in 2023.
What is your go-to footy snack?
Pie or hot chips?
A hot dog.
Hot chippies.
Hot chips and tomato sauce.
I really like gravy and hot chips.
Hey, you can't beat chicken wings.
Burger sounds like a winner.
If anything, chips.
Chips and gravy. Beer.
I'll probably go the hot chips.
Ice cream.
Chips?
Hot chips.
Hot chips, yeah, hot chips.
Well, it definitely seems like there's a pretty clear favourite for salty snacks at the footy, right?
Well, on a hot day, an ice cream's pretty tempting as well, James. But yeah, the hot chips are pretty popular and I think they stand the test of time right throughout the season. It doesn't matter whether it's a hot day or a cold day.
Yeah, well, I think the next question that we'll be asking is it aioli or is tomato sauce the preferred condiment of choice?
Well, this is it. And you didn't reveal what type of Smith's crisps you preferred.
Oh, just original.
Salt and vinegar or no, original?
Original. Well, yeah, I'm pretty beige, pretty vanilla.
Just like you, mate. You're pretty original.
I'm not sure whether that was a compliment or not, but I'm going to take it this early on a Monday afternoon. So moving on to round four, we got a jam-packed weekend, plenty happening across grounds around Perth. Four games on the Saturday, one game on the Sunday. We're going to be kicking off on Saturday with East Fremantle versus Perth at the Wacker. So obviously East Fremantle, all of their home games for 2023 will be played at the Wacker while their Marmion Street sort of home base gets renovated. So Perth will be looking for their first win of the season. Sharks in good form after a big win last week. And East Frio have won the last five games against Perth. The Demons, they've got to find some options moving forward. I mean, in terms of what they've been averaging for the last couple of games, you know, where are they at, Sean?
Well, you know, if you look at the Demons, that you know, they need to find some options moving forward. I think they need to change things up a little bit. They've been averaging just 5 goals a game for 2023. So really, it's about stepping up their performance. You know, that's from the leadership team down. And really, you know, finding a flag to rally around, whatever that might be.
And in terms of the Sharks, I mean, they've been scoring pretty much at will. They're scoring an average of 14 goals a game for 2023. I know it's early in the season, but they're just finding a way to create opportunities for themselves to get on the scoreboard. And I definitely think that the Sharks will be winning quite comfortably against Perth. What's your tip for this game, Sean?
Oh, look, yeah, I'd be going with the Sharks as well. Yeah.
And on to East Perth versus Peel Thunder. Take it away.
So the Royals are undefeated, whereas the Peel Thunder have got a 2-1 record this year. The Royals have the Thunder's measure with 44 wins, to 22. So it's going to be interesting to see, James, who emerges victorious in this round.
Absolutely. And the Royals have been very happy to move the ball by foot this season, averaging 220 kicks and nearly 100 marks per game. So it's clear that their game style is playing a little bit of tempo and possession footy at times just to kind of absorb any pressure that comes from them. Peel have actually won the last two encounters against the Royals by more than 50 points, but they will be up against the form side of the comp. The Royals have kicked 100-plus points in their last two matches as well. So it's going to be interesting. I think Peel Thunder, they started well in the game against South Fremantle, but then they kind of faded. There was contest, but they just couldn't actually get their game plan working the way that I'm sure that they would like to. So I'm actually going to be choosing East Perth for another comfortable victory against Peel Thunder this weekend.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be backing Peel Thunder this weekend. I know that, you know, they're pretty much the underdog. I think we can agree on that. But I think, you know, with an injection of, power and passion and enthusiasm, let's see what they can do.
We always love a good underdog story here on the Monday Waffle podcast. And that brings us to West Perth versus Subiaco, also on Saturday. Both teams at 2-1 heading into round 4. Subi coming off a good win against Claremont, and Subi only managing 5 goals for their game in the last encounter versus West Perth. So if they can control the middle of the ground the same way they did against Claremont, anything can happen. And Sean, tell me, what will West Perth be focusing on for their game against Subi?
All right, well, if you look at the Falcons, you know, they're coming off a tight win against the Swans. They'll be hoping for another big game from Tyler Keitel, who kicked 5 goals, as we just spoke about before, against the Lions in round 20 last year. And he's coming off kicking 5 against the Swans last week.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the real key for both West Perth and Subiaco. If Subiaco can find a way to stop Tyler Keitel's influence, it wasn't only, you know, Keitel's ability to grab and kick the ball. I mean, he kicked one from inside the centre square. He kicked another one from outside 50 going into the breeze. But it was his off-the-ball work that was really awesome to see. There was a couple of goals that he was, you know, had score involvements in. And his ability to sort of shepherd and just be a physical presence down in inside 50 for West Perth was really valuable. Every single contest that he went to, he managed to draw at least probably 2 to 3, you know, opposition defenders to him. And when you have that happening, it just creates so many opportunities for your small forwards. And Sunday, there's only one game on the Sunday, which is going to be Claremont versus West Coast. We're not going to, go over this game too much. But, you know, West Coast will be hoping for a stronger performance. Need to get creative, as we spoke about earlier. Just need to get some experience into the legs of some of the younger or less experienced players. And Sean, what are Claremont going to be focusing on for this game?
Oh, well, look, I think there's a couple of opportunities for Claremont here. Number one, they can look at giving some of their newer players a go, you know, and put them out on the field. I think they need to be managing their injuries as well. So, you know, that's an opportunity there as well. They have won the last of their 5 encounters. They're looking to bounce back after their loss to Subiaco. This is a good chance for Claremont to get in a percentage booster, you know. Yeah. If they can beat West Coast by 100 points or more, or, you know, 10, 20 goals, that can really boost their percentage, which can help them come finals time, James.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that percentage is going to play a vital role, especially later on in the season. And if you've got an opportunity to put, you know, quite a few goals up on the opposition, you need to take it while you can. So I'm sure that a lot of teams are going to be, you know, rubbing their fingers or rubbing their hands together and finding that balance between managing the minutes of your more senior players and also trying to stack on the score to boost your percentage as well. Brings us to what we think is going to be the game of the week here on the Monday Waffle podcast. And that is going to be the Battle of the Bulldogs versus the Swans. It's going to be at Fremantle Community Oval. And the reason why we're choosing this as our game of the week is the last 3 games between the sides have been decided by an average of less than a goal. So in a season that's already been full of huge blowouts, it's going to be great to see some competitive footy and also hopefully a tight scoring encounter.
We are certainly hoping for that, James. You know, we're looking for that close encounter. We want to see a bit of fight from both teams. And we want to see people raise their game, you know, at this stage of the season. You know, because it is game of the week, we will be bringing to you at the Monday Waffle, you know, a degree of analysis of the game that maybe we won't give to the other games. And we're looking forward to sharing that with you.
Yeah, and the current record between the two teams doesn't really mean that much when these sides face off. The Swans have had a good start against the Falcons, but couldn't find a way to stop the Falcons or stop West Perth last week. And South Fremantle Footy Club's Bletchenden had a massive game against the Swans in the last encounter, racking up nearly 40 touches and 7 inside 50s as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot to do for both sides to make sure that they've got all their T's crossed and Bletchenden's covered, so to speak. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating game, and we're excited for a close contest at Fremantle Community Oval on the Sunday.
Yep, and it's, you know, it's totally a good comment to give some thought to how much resource do you devote to shutting down a star forward.
Exactly. I mean, do you invest time and energy into that player, or do you invest time and energy into your own game plan? I guess that's what we'll have to wait and see. So coming up, we are coming to the end of another Monday Waffle podcast, which means it is time for the... So it's time for the final siren. This is Sean and I's final thought for as we head out of round three and into round four. My final thought for the week ahead is going to be sort of the equity in the league at the moment. We've seen a number of sides blown out by more than 100 points already. You know, is there going to be any consideration, or I'm just kind of interested to see what some of the longer term impacts are going to be for all the sides, you know, going forward. And that consistency and the standard of the competition is really important. So I don't really have the answers. I don't even know what questions we're going to be asking, but it is slightly concerning to see the difference between the best and the worst team in the competition at quite a substantial margin already.
Yeah, and certainly I would agree with you there, James. You know, looking at the results so far, I think some players, based on their just purely their performance, you know, they're going to be fighting to keep themselves in the first. And equally, players that are sitting outside the first, you know, they've got an opportunity to get into the league team, you know. So there's all these different dynamics cracking off. Most importantly, though, I think when things are going well or things are going not so well, either way, you've got to keep the main game, and that is engage in good, rigorous training, look after yourself in terms of nutrition and sleep over the coming days, you know, and get around your mates because you're in it together as a team. It's not an individual sport.
Sound advice. And what's your final thought for the Monday Waffle podcast for ahead of round four?
Well, I think I'm excited to be here. I really enjoyed interacting not only with the crowd, but the players, the coaches, some of the staff, down at Leaderville Oval last weekend. So looking forward to more of that. You know, and most importantly, just having some fun, you know, with the guys on the Monday Waffle that are part of the team that are putting it together, with all of you out there, the audience, and certainly with all the players, the coaches and the staff. So, yeah, thanks for having me, James.
Well, thanks for sticking around with us on the Monday Waffle podcast. We've been wrapping up round three, looking towards round four. And this is James Broadhurst and Sean Boss signing out for another episode of the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.